And so when it comes to the armor of God, we have to understand that there are first things first, and that is an understanding of the Word of God, which is to be clinched, cinched tightly around our entire being as indisputable truth, as foundational truth, as the infallible, inerrant Word of God truth. And that is why Paul so adamantly reminds us that truth is the first piece of equipment needed. And without it, we can't go on. We can't put anything else on, nor will we ever want to. Did you get that? It's not that we won't put anything else on. We won't even want to. It's reserved for us who believe in Jesus Christ. So in verse 14, Paul states, after all the above, gird your loins with truth. And that's number one. We've covered that very well, I'm hoping. And if you've been attending regularly with us, you'll know that this is our something we continue in, the very premise of all we preach and teach, the truth of God's word. We preach Christ crucified, buried, and risen again. That's the truth in and of this belt that we wear. And without it, or a watered-down version of it, or a feel-good, all-inclusive idea of it, we won't even have a starting point to understand the rest of the story. And so this armor won't be part of our resolve as Christians. Only good feelings and warm sentiments and easy listening people stories of paying it forward and acts of kindness. That's what will do it for us. Now again, don't get me wrong here. We need to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving and loving one another. That's also what Paul commands of us. But that's only a part of our spiritual growth experience, or should I say the result of it. But it's indispensable that we realize that we're in a battle, a warfare that's going on around us that demands our servitude and our obedience. And we must be true to the entire Word of God. So secondly, after all that, our text continues in verse 14. Following a good cinching up of the truth around our loins, we are to put on the breastplate of righteousness. I had a bulletproof vest when I was on the ambulance. And what they did is when you came into situations where it was pretty tense, you grabbed your bulletproof vest, put it on. But I had to give it back when I quit. I wanted to wear it this morning. I wanted to wear it. Because it is the greatest sense of protection. You feel like Superman with it on. It'll protect you. And here the Apostle Paul says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. And we all know what breastplates are. It's much like a bulletproof vest, only it's bigger. It guards, it protects. And this particular vest, spiritual vest, is made up of nothing but what? Righteousness. The whole thing is Kevlar righteousness. And righteousness, we all know, comes only from where? Well, Romans reminds us that as believers, we are clothed in the righteousness of God. Now, my bulletproof vest sort of comes right up to my tummy and exposes my arms and part of my neck. When it says you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, the clothing they wore was nothing like you got now today. It would be from neck to ankles. They sort of wore dresses, kind of. And that's what it was. You were clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And we have that as believers. We have none of our own. Because Isaiah 64:6 gives us this wonderful description. It says, but we all are as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all fade away like the leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So Isaiah is saying, you have none of your own. So you can see we can't muster up or provide any of this armor ourselves, especially the breastplate of righteousness, because all we have is some filthy rag material, and that doesn't cut it. That's what we're doing. We're saying Christ isn't sufficient enough to protect us. He isn't good enough. He isn't safe enough. So I'll use my stuff, my cardboard box, my rags. So the finished product has to come from God. There's no other thing. The psalmist knew it well because he wrote in Psalm 119, 142, your righteousness, O Lord, is an everlasting righteousness. So no doubt it's from God. Our text reminds us of this fact quite forcibly. if we still have doubts. Listen to verse 10 to 18. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous. That's talking about us. That's on our own, without Christ. There is none righteous. And then it says, no, not even one, it says. Now, that's pretty harsh. You would think that with the world's population of 7.5 growing billion people on earth, that the scripture might be wrong a little bit. And there's a couple who are righteous. It says none are. Not one. Not one. Not a single one are righteous on their own. There is none who understands, it says, and that speaks of the things of God. We don't understand anything spiritual without the Holy Spirit's enlightenment. That's why people read the scripture and they come up with 680 different religions in our world. Because they just take it and say, oh, it must be that. How stupid we've become. That's not what God's saying here. He's saying if you don't have the Holy Spirit enlightening you, quickening you, the Spirit reveals Jesus Christ through the scriptures, then you know the scriptures. And it must be true because verse 11 says, there is none who seeks for God. It's God who seeks you and finds you. A song on Christian radio states, if you had not loved me first, I would refuse you still. And that's true according to our text here. Verse 12. All have turned aside and become together useless. That's useless in their thinking and their speculation. Take from Psalms 2. It says, why do the nations rage and the people imagine a vain thing? There's none who does good. Even though we say everyone is inherently good in society, watch news. They'll say, oh, an act of kindness today. So truly, people are good. And I'm going, phooey, people aren't good. Without Christ, you're not good. Try as hard as you can. Because you have evil ideas, evil desires. There's not even one, it says. The description continues. Their throat is an open grave. That's quite graphic, I think. With their tongues they keep deceiving, they lie, they know not the truth, Paul tells us. And Jeremiah 9:5 reminds us that everyone deceives his neighbor and does not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. Our text continues, verse 13. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And isn't that true today? Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery on their paths, and the peace of God they do not know. And there's a final negative descriptor of mankind without God. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Isn't that true today? Quite the graphic description of mankind without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not trying to discourage anyone here today. Just proving a biblical point. You know what that is? We really need Christ and his righteousness, don't we? Without it, we're filthy rags. We really need Christ and his righteousness. So if we say we are inherently good and have some kind of our own righteousness, scripture just proved us liars, like Romans 3 verse 4 says. And the truth is definitely not in us. Verse 22 of our text from Romans 3 reminds us that the only true righteousness, the righteousness of God, is through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. So you can't have the breastplate of righteousness if you don't believe, because that's what he gives you. So we definitely need the righteousness of Christ, and it's only obtained and secured in and through believing in him, and that righteousness then becomes our breastplate, our body armor, and like I said, you put the bulletproof vest on, and you have confidence like crazy. Paul goes on to command that we understand the process and we start putting the safety equipment on. And the first part, of course, is the belt, and I reminded you of that lots. And the second one is the righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, clothed in Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Can you imagine if I felt so secure with this little vest that was on me? Can you imagine if the vest went from my fingertips all the way down to my toes? That's the security you have in Jesus Christ. The breastplate of righteousness. But here's the thing. Do we have the truth firmly around our loins so that we can believe this? Again, they are from God. It's His armor. But let's not forget that important fact. It's not of ourselves, and we truly need it. Again, Romans 10, 3 and 4 states this about our perceived righteousness. It says, "For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish our own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the only end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes." You can't get it on your own. You can't say, "I'm good." We can't get it by being kind to one another. We can try all we want. We can put all our Baptist stuff on us. We can go to church as holy as ever. But without Christ's righteousness, His breastplate around us, we are only showing off our filthy rags. So bottom line, and the sermon's main point, there is no righteousness apart from God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, or fallen short of this righteousness of God. And so we are asked to put on this breastplate called righteousness and wear it as protective gear and armor. And why is it so important? Well, again, it not only signifies we are Christ's soldiers because we have the crest, but that we are warriors. We are warriors of God. Listen closely. If you aren't a believer in Christ today, you don't have this armor. You're going around saying, "I don't know why I'm in all kinds of difficulty and all kinds of problems," because the devil has free sway with you. It doesn't matter. You have no protection. You're not under Christ's protection. You're not under the Word. You're not clothed. You're not washed in the Word. I wonder why. And these bullets are flying all the time. In closing, I just want to ask, do we have the spiritual bulletproof vest on today? If you don't, if you're not willing to put on the armor of God, if you're apathetic about it, it doesn't just mean you're negligent or slow to learn. It means you're disobedient to Christ and probably not a child of the King, and you're in great danger. Because a true believer is saved and prepared and protected. They pick up their armor and they fight the battle for truth. And then when someone asks us how our spiritual journey is going, we can say, "I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised Him that I would serve Him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord." What a witness that would be. And people would know that when something in the community is so wrong, the Church of Jesus Christ with their armor on will go attack them. And that's why prayer is taken out of school. We never attacked them. That's why there's homosexuality rampant in TV, because we didn't make a fuss. We sat back and said, "Hope it doesn't come on my television screen." Instead of putting the armor on and marching and breaking down the gates of hell. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at protective footwear. But this stuff for me is incredible. It's exciting to know that we're prepared, but to know one more thing. If you're a child of God, you're a soldier. And if you're not a soldier, then what are you? What are you? Because a child of God is a soldier of the King of Kings.